We had for our scripture reading out of Numbers chapter 6. I'm reading from verses 22 to 27. That section is sometimes referred to as the priest's blessing or the priestly blessing. Sometimes the Aaronic blessing, because Aaron was the high priest at the time. It takes up only 32 words. And in English, in Hebrew actually it only takes up 15 words. And yet the blessing that God used, or had the priest use to bless the people, is so packed with rich meaning. In fact, the very fact that there's so much in there and so few words is something that we should take note of. Somebody had asked me a question the week before last. And in answering that, I was suddenly struck with just how much is actually in this blessing. And so I wanted to share that with you. And so far my computer is deciding, there it goes. Let's start out with the first phrase. The Lord bless you and keep you. It starts out with a desire for happiness, because that's what a blessing is a wishing of happiness on another person. There's a desire that God grant you happiness. Over in Psalm 67, Psalm 67, this psalm actually expands on that idea of God blessing us. It says that God be gracious to us and bless us and cause His face to shine upon us, that Your way be made known on the earth, Your salvation among all the nations. Let the peoples praise You, O God. Let all the peoples praise You. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for You will judge the peoples with uprightness and guide the nations on the earth. Let the peoples praise You, O God. Let all the peoples praise You. The earth has yielded its produce. God, our God, blesses us. God blesses us, that is, that all the ends of the earth may fear Him. Notice what is being stated here. In verse 2, God blesses us through the things that He teaches us. We often don't think about that, but the laws that God has given is a blessing from God. In Psalms 119, and we'll be right back to 67, you want to hold your finger there. Psalms 119, and the first 8 verses of that psalm, says, how blessed are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. How blessed are those who observe His testimonies, who seek Him with all their heart. They also do no unrighteousness. They walk in His ways. You have ordained Your precepts that we should keep them diligently. Oh, that my ways may be established to keep Your statutes. Then I shall not be ashamed. When I look upon all Your commandments, I shall give thanks to You with uprightness of heart. When I have learned Your righteous judgments, I shall keep Your statutes. Do not forsake me utterly. God has blessed us with a law and teachings. We're not left on our own to wander blindly, to try to figure out which way to go. God has directed us. But God also blesses us, according to Psalm 67, by bringing salvation to us. And of course, that is a gift of God. It's the foremost gift of God. In Titus chapter 2, and in verse 11, it says, for the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men. That is God's gift to mankind, is the fact that He brought us salvation. We could not do that ourselves. God has done it for us. And so He has blessed us with that as well. But in verse 4 of Psalm 67, He talks about the fact that God judges us uprightly. Now, oftentimes we look at judgment as condemnation. And most of us fear to be condemned. And rightly so, in that sense. But we don't often think about the fact that that judgment is also a blessing. Because judgment brings stability to a society. Take a look at Psalms 96. Psalms 96, starting with verse 7. Ascribe to the Lord, O families of the peoples. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory of His name. Bring an offering and come to His courts. Worship the Lord in holy attire. Tremble before Him all the earth. Say among the nations, the Lord reigns. Indeed, the world is firmly established. It will not be moved. He will judge the peoples with equity. God gives fair judgments. Yes, there are things that go wrong in the world. There are wicked people in the world. There are difficulties, but there are things that we know are fair. In Revelation chapter 19, it also mentions this. Revelation 19, here in the context of it, is talking about the judgment that God just brought upon Rome. It is destruction that was going to come, and its fall. But in verse 19 it says, after these things I heard something like a loud voice of a great multitude in heaven saying, Hallelujah! Salvation and glory and power belong to our God, because His judgments are true and righteous. For He has judged the great harlot who was corrupting the earth with her immorality. He has avenged the blood of His bondservants on her. And a second time they said, Hallelujah! Her smoke rises up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the four living creatures fell down and worshiped God who sits on the throne, saying, Amen! Hallelujah! And the voice came from the throne saying, Give praise to our God, all you His bondservants, you who fear Him, the small and the great. And then I heard something like the voice of a great multitude, like the sound of many waters, like the sound of mighty peals of thunder, saying, Hallelujah! For our God, the Lord our God, the Almighty reigns. Perhaps you don't think about it in this way, but when God brings righteous judgment, it stabilizes the world. It establishes it. If you don't understand that, think about what happens when we see trials. And you know the person on trial is guilty. Everybody knows it. But the person's rich. He's famous or whatever. And he gets off. And you think, oh, well, there goes society. There's nothing you can count on anymore. But God can be counted on. And that's a blessing to us. He also gives us guidance. Too often people panic. We see nations going into sin. We see injustice being done. But people, God's people, see the blessing that God is in control of the situation, no matter what this world might look like at the moment. In Revelation again, in chapter 17, verse 14, Revelation 17 and verse 14 says, These will wage war against the Lamb, and the Lamb will overcome them, because He is Lord of lords and King of kings, and those who are with Him are called the faithful, are the called and chosen and faithful. God will overcome. It doesn't matter how bad it might seem to you. God will win. And there's another blessing that sometimes we just take for granted, but we have to keep it in mind always. Even the little things in life, like the food on your table, is a blessing from God. We can take them for granted. We can think, well, hey, that's just, I worked, I earned the money. But the help that you have, the ability to do so, the very fact that you have a job, the fact that the food's there to be bought. Think about in places where they're having difficulties getting food. Those are all blessings from God. In Psalm 85, starting with verse 8. Psalm 85. I'm going to start with verse 8. I will hear what God the Lord will say, for he will speak peace to his people, to his godly ones, to let them not turn back to folly. Surely his salvation is near to those who fear him, that glory may dwell in our land. Loving kindness and truth have met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Truth springs up from the earth and righteousness looks down from the heavens. Indeed, the Lord will give what is good, and our land will yield its produce. Righteousness will go before him and will make his footsteps into a way. Now, right in the middle of all the other things that we count as great blessings, right at the towards the end there is, and our land will produce. And so that's what we are taught to pray by Jesus himself. When asked how to pray in Matthew chapter 6, he gives an example. And in that prayer, he says in verse 11, give us this day our daily bread. We need to appreciate the blessings that God has given to us. And so may the Lord bless you. But it also says, and keep you. That's a desire to be kept, to be protected by God, especially being protected from sin. In Psalms 121, Psalm 121, I will lift up my eyes to the mountains. From whence shall my help come? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to slip. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun will not smite you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will protect you from all evil. He will keep your soul. The Lord will guard your going out and your coming in, from this time forth and forever. Now that's what God has promised us. Paul wrote about that. That protection, that watching over us. When we're faced with temptations, a lot of times we wonder why we're facing those temptations. But God still keeps us. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and in verse 13, he says, no temptation has overtaken you, but such as is common to man. And God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able, but with the temptation will provide the way of escape so that you will be able to endure it. That's a blessing from God. We should desire God's protection, God keeping us out of trouble. But it also says the Lord make his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. That first part is saying, may God's face light up with a smile when he looks on you. What better thing than to know that God appreciates that you are there? Job, when he was talking about his better days, when people would come and seek his advice, he mentions in Job chapter 29, Job 29 and verse 21. To me they listened and waited and kept silent for my counsel. After my words they did not speak again, and my speech dropped on them. They waited for me as for the rain, and opened their mouth for the spring rain. I smiled on them when they did not believe, and the light of my face they did not cast down. I chose a way for them, and sat as chief, and dwelt as a king among the troops, as one who comforted the mourners. Notice what he said. Even when his advice that people came and asked for was not believed, he didn't let it ruin his day. He still smiled on them. We also learn in Proverbs that when a king smiles, well, that's refreshing as well. In Proverbs chapter 16 and in verse 15, in the light of a king's face is life, and his favor like a cloud with spring rain. It's refreshing. It's wonderful. But that's man. But when God smiles, we all smile. Take a look at Psalms chapter 4. Psalm 4, and in verse 6, many are saying, who will show us any good? Lift up the light of your countenance upon us, O Lord. Where are we going to find good? God smiling on us. You know, when a servant of God wants, the most that he wants is God's smile. Take a look at Psalms 31. Psalm 31 and verse 16. Make your face to shine upon your servant. Save me in your loving kindness. And to understand that when God smiles, it's pure joy. In Psalms 89. Psalms 89 and verse 15. How blessed are the people who know the joyful sound. O Lord, they walk in the light of your countenance. There is nothing greater than knowing that God looks upon you with favor and smiles at you. And so it also then says that to him to be gracious to you. Gracious is to bring gifts. We already talked about the many blessings that God has given us. But again, especially in the terms of salvation, God has given us the gift of freedom from our sins. In John chapter 1 and verse 17, when Jesus came to this earth, he said, for the law was given through Moses, grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ. A rich gift, as well as the truth, came from Jesus when he came here on this earth. And in Ephesians chapter 2, Ephesians chapter 2, starting with verse 4, but God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love, which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And raised us up with him and seated us with him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come he might show the surpassing riches of his grace in kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. And as that blessing continues on, it says, the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Again, may God take notice of you and look at you. Your countenance is your face. You want God to look at you with favor. God watches over those who obey Him, and He protects them. Again, in Psalms chapter 33, Psalm 33, this time starting with verse 18. Behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear Him, on those who hope for His loving kindness, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. Our souls waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield, for our heart rejoices in Him because we trust in His holy name. Let Your loving kindness, O Lord, be upon us, according as we have hoped in You. And the desire for God to give us peace. In Psalms 29, and in verse 11, the Lord will give strength to His people. The Lord will bless His people with peace. It's not the world's idea of peace. What God thinks of peace is not the world's idea. In fact, what Jesus said in John chapter 14, John chapter 14 and verse 27, when He's talking to His disciples, He says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful." The world looks like peace is, hey, we can get rid of all the war that's going on. But God's idea of peace is that it's within you. A peace that's personal. A peace that comes through confidence and trust in God. In Isaiah chapter 26. Isaiah 26, and starting with verse 2. Open the gates that the righteous nation may enter, the one who remains faithful. The steadfast of mind I will keep in perfect peace, because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for the God, the Lord, we have the everlasting rock. We can have a confident, steady mind. I know so many people are disturbed by guilt. Their conscience bothers them. God gives us peace because we can trust in Him. And it's a peace that exists even in the midst of other troubles. Going back to John, this time to John 16. And in verse 33. These things I have spoken to you so that in me you may have peace. The world will have you will have tribulation, but take courage. I have overcome the world. We're always going to face problems. That's not the peace that God's talking about. I can know that my sins were forgiven. That I have the ability to stand before God. And that He will actually smile upon me. It doesn't matter what the rest of the world does. I can be at peace. It's a peace of a clear conscience. It's a peace that's only known through Jesus Christ. In Romans chapter 5, and in verse 1, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And in that same book, back in Romans 15, Romans 15 and verse 13. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you will abound in the hope of, by the power of the Holy Spirit. That only comes to those who are righteous, those who have been saved. It's a peace that's not known by those who are wicked. In Isaiah 57, Isaiah 57, starting with verse 17, it says, because of the iniquity of his unjust gain, I was angry and struck him. I hid my face and was angry. And he went on turning away in the way of his heart. I have seen his ways, but I will heal him. I will lead him and restore comfort to him and to his mourners, creating the praise of the lips, peace to him who is far and to him who is near, says the Lord, and I will heal him. But the wicked are like the tossing sea, for it cannot be quieted, and his waters tossed up refuge in mud. There is no peace, says my God, for the wicked. Sorry, I got behind on my slide. But that peace is a peace that's beyond comprehension. In Philippians chapter 4, starting with verse 6, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. In fact, Paul's statement here in Philippians is so familiar. It's so similar to that priestly blessing. Mel mentioned it earlier here already. Now, one of the difficulties I've always had, I've been here 22 years now, and one of the greatest difficulties is seeing people that you've grown to love move. But always been a difficult aspect of this work. Now, this is the Bemis last day of worshiping with us as members here, though I'm sure they'll come to visit. They came to Nebraska just a few years after this congregation started, 43 years ago. And now they're going back to Indiana. But it's not just them. You know, one of our newest members, the Feasters, are going to be moving in a little over a month. They came here to get his feet wet in preaching, get to go work with a congregation down in Bay City, Texas, south of Houston. And though it's only been a year, they've become a part of our lives, and it will be hard to see them go too. But despite the sadness, it isn't that we won't be seeing them anymore. I hope we see each other as often as we can. But in the meanwhile, we can say, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance on you and give you peace. I hope you consider these things. I've asked Gary to lead that song that we have it set to music. Told him it was going to be rough. So if you would stand as we sing that song, and that will be our invitation for the day.